The following program, The Russ Belville Show, is intended for responsible adults only. We advocate to the repeal of marijuana prohibition for adults. We discuss the science, culture, and controversy about America's marijuana laws. We do not advocate any illegal activity and encourage all listeners to learn their state and federal marijuana laws. Opinions and claims made by guests and advertisers on The Russ Belville Show are their own, and The Russ Belville Show cannot be held legally responsible for their validity or reliability. Viewer discretion is advised.
You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seed, you plant it, you grow it, you dry it, you roll it, you smoke it, and it goes down smooth. Hey!
Spanning the continent to bring you the truth about cannabis and marijuana law reform.
I smoke pot and I like it a lot.
From the promise of legalization.
And I think that we need to rethink and criminalize
to the agony of prohibition.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
The Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
Yeah, I hear you. You had a question for me.
Now, here's your host, Radical Russ Belville.
We love it.
Welcome, everybody. Good day, tokers and tokettes. It is Monday, October 22nd, 2012, and it's got to be 420 somewhere in the world. Welcome to the show. We're so glad that you could join us today. All sorts of news to get to here. Before we get to it, let's introduce everyone here in the studio. We got our very own Red Eyes here. Brian the Red is hanging out in the studio today. How you doing, Brian?
Hey, I'm doing all right, Russ.
Cooking up more reggae for Wednesday, I hope.
Oh, yeah, man. Been working on some specialties.
I'm telling you, I'm really digging this show. Red Eyes Reggae Flashback every Wednesday at 8 p.m. Pacific time. You want to get deep into the tracks, find new, rare, unreleased stuff that you've probably never been heard in, like, 3 decades, probably.
A lot of it you probably haven't heard, but some of it's been released and, you know, re-released. But, you know, a lot of just old dusty tapes have been ripping out for you.
That's awesome. Check it out this Wednesday night, 8 o'clock Pacific time here at RadicalRust.com. Also joining us in our virtual studio is our news director, Carrie Gallagher. Hello, Carrie.
Hi. It's exciting having a show on a Wednesday. You know, I do a radio show on Wednesday as well. And this year, Halloween falls on a Wednesday. So I'm excited about themed shows coming up.
That's right. You're at KMUNCoastRadio.org. And what are you doing for your Halloween shows?
Well, I've actually got my regular acoustic show, so we're doing it with a Halloween theme. I'm doing a children's show that evening around 8 o'clock, and then I'm doing a women's music show. So I will be on radio quite a bit come October 31st.
All right. We'll check that out. And also, Carrie's got our news headlines that we get to right after this first break. What's in the news today?
I do. Today, we're going to cover that a new poll out from Arkansas. We're going to find out how the Medical Marijuana Initiative is polling down in that southern state. Also, a dispensary in trouble for selling a product to a minor in Washington State. I'm going to tell you all about that. And we have not got to this in hour one yet in the news. So I'm going to tell you all about New Jersey weed man, how his trial ended up last week, and some new information on that as well.
All right. Looking forward to it. After that, we'll get behind the headlines. I'm going to take a look at a new website that just launched today, marijuanamajority.com, one of the best PR campaigns for marijuana legalization I've ever seen, and evidence of the major marijuana legalization organizations working together. It's awesome. I'm going to show you that in Behind the Headlines. Also, a look at the 60 Minutes piece on medical marijuana in Colorado. Then at half past, speaking of medical marijuana, plaintiff Michael Kravitz from ASA versus DEA will be joining us. He'll be talking about that case to reschedule medical marijuana, in which he is one of the plaintiffs. And then a radical rant at the end. Stick around.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow. It's simply business.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation.
It's simply business. It's simply business. It's simply business. You know why they won't let us grow.
Take marijuana off of the streets, put it in a store. We can make it harder for the teens to buy, sell it like a bottle of wine. Jobs for our people, money for schools, who could ask for more? Strict regulation, fund education, yes on 64.
Warning, Neil deGrasse Tyson might grab you off the street at any minute.
I know that the molecules in my body are traceable to phenomenon in the cosmos that makes me want to grab people in the street and say, have you heard this?
This is Normal Show Live. The Russ Belville Show. Chat is for friends 18 and older. We expect our chat to be civil, mature, and free from excessive profanity. If you don't like these rules, there are approximately 6 billion other chat rooms with lower standards that you can visit.
Time for our 420 headline news with our news director, Carrie Gallagher.
Thank you, Russ. A medical marijuana dispensary in Western Washington State is in hot water over selling one of their products to a minor. The Hashford Compassionate Club in Tacoma was caught up in a sting operation, but not your typical sting involving a cannabis club. The Pierce County Sheriff's Department received a complaint that the establishment had sold alcohol to a minor. They organized a covert buy with a minor informant who was able to purchase three bottles of a drink that was advertised as, quote, cannabis-enriched honey beer. The store had been carrying the liquid drink that was labeled cannabis-enriched, and they sold that to the minor informant, but the store does not have a license to sell alcohol. The case was handed over to the Washington State Liquor Control Board. Board officials say they will be pursuing the liquor sales violation and no other violation. They seized several cases of the beer from their store in a Tacoma strip mall on Friday. No one has been charged as of yet in the case, but the cannabis-enriched alcohol was sent as evidence to the state prosecutor. A new poll in Arkansas shows that support for the medical marijuana initiative may be falling. The latest poll on the state of the Arkansas voter was conducted last Thursday, October 18th. With 868 likely voters answering pollsters' questions, only 38% of them said they would be voting yes to legalize the use of marijuana as a limited medical therapy. 8% are still undecided how they will vote for the initiative, and 54% plan on voting no. Back in July, that same poll question was asked, and 47% said they would vote for the initiative. The group behind getting this historic question on the ballot, Arkansas is the first southern state to try to legalize marijuana for medical use, says that conservative groups and law enforcement groups have come out hard against the measure and have been running ads opposing their effort and asking citizens to vote no. But they say that those numbers are far from final. The poll results released today from Talk Business Hendricks College also found that men and women are equally opposed to the medical marijuana proposal and almost identical among ethnicity lines as well. Democrats are far more supportive of the measure, with 51% saying they would vote for it and 39% against it, while the Republicans polled were split, with 23.5% for the initiative and 71.5% against. Those calling themselves something other than either a Republican or a Democrat are split, 47% for and 47% against, if the election were held last week. And despite being barred from presenting a jury nullification defense, a New Jersey jury may have just utilized that legal theory to unanimously vote 12-0 to declare the man known as New Jersey Weed Man not guilty of a marijuana distribution charge. Weed Man, whose real name is Ed Forshian, had previously been found guilty of marijuana possession, but a jury was deadlocked on a distribution charge, so a new trial was ordered to determine whether he was guilty of distribution after a pound of cannabis was found found in his truck. New Jersey weed man had defended himself on the charge, arguing that his use was purely for his private medical purposes. He also attempted to utilize a jury nullification defense, but the presiding judge prevented him from doing so and threatening him with contempt of court if he tried to argue such a defense. Weed man, who is a Rastafarian activist, was nearly held in contempt of court when he delivered his closing arguments when he tried again to introduce his jury nullification argument into the closing. He was quickly stopped by Superior Court Judge Charles Dehaney, who had barred any discussion of it. Jury nullification can be utilized by juries who feel that defendants should not be punished for their actions, even if they find them technically guilty of a crime. Although the media has been widely reporting that the case was nullified by jury, one member of that jury has since spoken out, saying that they actually voted that there wasn't enough evidence to charge him based strictly on the facts. He says that the jury didn't actually vote to nullify and didn't use that word. The juror who spoke out was unidentified and said that the jury had all agreed together to not speak to the press about the case. Forshian is a legal resident of California, but he says he also has a home in New Jersey and for years has been called the New Jersey weed man. He was visiting family when he was pulled over with almost a pound of marijuana in his trunk, and he does run a dispensary in Los Angeles. And here at the Russ Belville Show, we urge you to get informed about jury nullification. You can do a simple Google search or Wikipedia to educate yourself about this powerful citizen action. And this has been Carrie Gallagher for the Russ Belville Show. And this has been your 420 headline news for Monday, October 22nd, 2012.
Thank you very much, Carrie. And when we come back, we're going to go behind the headlines and take a look at marijuana activism in full force with MarijuanaMajority.com. Probably one of the best PR campaigns I've ever seen for marijuana legalization. Plus, we'll take a look at the 60 Minutes Rocky Mountain High piece. Be right back after this.
Former federal law enforcement officials speak out about Initiative 502.
We know firsthand that decades of marijuana arrests have failed to reduce use, and the drug cartels are pocketing all the profits.
Initiative 502 brings marijuana under tight regulatory control. 502 generates new revenue for education, healthcare, and prevention.
And if 502 passes, we'll have more resources to go after violent crime. Join us in voting yes on 502.
Which of you are ready to admit to having used marijuana in the past? And they want us to go around and ask each of you. Senator Kerry? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yes. Okay. Senator Edwards?
Yes.
Senator Lieber?
Well, you know, I have a reputation for giving unpopular answers at Democratic debates. I never use marijuana. Sorry.
I think you'd probably be a lot cooler if you had, Senator.
Smoke a little pot, drink a little wine.
It may be too late for Joe Lieberman. Welcome back. Toker Talk Radio on the Russ Belville Show here. Hope you're having a good time. We're going to get behind the headlines now and take a look at a website that debuted today that I just find to be one of the best websites ever. It's called MarijuanaMajority.com. And if you haven't taken a look at it, you've got to. It is featuring hundreds of people who are speaking out for marijuana legalization and putting their quotes right there on the front page and making people understand how much broad-based support there is for marijuana legalization, not just among liberals or progressives or entertainers, but conservatives, law enforcement types, all across the board. And what I'm most happy about is the people behind this site. The people involved in this, the team involved in this features Tom Angel, who's the project oversight and communications director for the team. Tom has worked with law enforcement against prohibition for a long time. We've been in constant contact since my days with Normal, and I couldn't be more proud of this project of his. He's just done a fantastic job on it. Perry Rosenstein was the engineer. Michael Huang, the engineer and designer. Micah Daigle, visual designer. Micah has done a lot of work with Students for Sensible Drug Policy. I've corresponded with him in the past as well. And Julia Peterson, person doing the lead research on getting these quotes, and there's links for all the quotes and all of the people who are involved in this. The board of directors also includes Shailene Title, who was formerly with Law Enforcement Against Prohibition. She did the booking for our Cops Say Legalized Drugs segment. Eric Sterling, the vice president and chairman of the vice chairman and president of the Criminal Justice Policy Foundation. Aaron Houston, the executive director of SSDP, is involved. Sabrina Fendricks on the advisory board. She's the project coordinator for Normal Women's Alliance. Neil Franklin, the leader of LEAP, the executive director. Stephen Gutwillig, deputy executive director for Drug Policy Alliance. Norm Stamper, with LEAP and former Seattle chief of police. Sean Dunnigan, a former DEA intelligence analyst who's also with LEAP, and launched with a grant from the Drug Policy Alliance. And this just goes to show, because one of the things I've always heard for a long time, why can't these groups get along? Why can't they work together? Folks, here it is. Here they are, getting along, working together, making it happen. So let me give you a look at the website, because it is pretty impressive here with its front page that starts off by saying, think marijuana laws will never change in the U.S.? 81% support medical, 81% support medical marijuana, and 72% support no jail time for marijuana. Sorry, I have to get the graphics out of the way. Sorry about that. Here we go. So there's your front graphic there. 81% support medical marijuana, 72% support no jail time for marijuana, and 50% support legalizing marijuana. Marijuana majority. And then that green graphic there shows you the relative percentages of who supports, you know, 81% medical, 72% no jail time, 50% legalization. So that's the no jail time. We call that decrim in our world. And so you've heard that before many times as well. So as you go down the site, what's great about it from the home page there is you're going to see all of these quotes from people who are in the marijuana majority, starting with Morgan Freeman, who said, "It's just the stupidest law possible. You're making criminals out of people who aren't engaged in a criminal activity. And we're spending zillions of dollars trying to fight a war we can't win. We could make zillions, just legalize it and tax it like we do liquor. It's stupid." And as you look through the page and scroll down, you'll see all these other people along here. John Stewart, Elizabeth Warren, Rick Perry, Governor of Texas, Michael Steele, Richard Branson, Sarah Palin, Larry King, and quotes for all of these people. When you click on them, it'll bring up their quote and explain, here's Larry King's. Do you think we should legalize marijuana? I think we should. It's about time. And a link to the actual time he said it. It's all on there, marijuanamajority.com. I urge you all to take a look at it. Now, in other news, there was also the 60 Minutes piece that took place this weekend, and I just saw it as we went to air today. Coleco brought it in. We watched it, and it was called Rocky Mountain High, because, you know, the media cannot resist a pot pun. There's just it's like crack to them. They just love the pot puns. And I found it very telling that Steve Croft goes to Colorado and explains to it, if marijuana were to be legalized, maybe Colorado is the way we should look at it, because it has the most developed medical marijuana system. And they took a look at an indoor grow. They took a look with the people there who are tracking it, as they call it, from seed to sale. They showed a very nice dispensary outlet where they showed all of the various edibles that are available and the capsules that are now available and so forth. I think this was a great move here, especially as we are approaching the election season and people voting on marijuana legalization. Because I've always said one of the biggest problems with legalization is we're asking the general public to do something or to envision something that they've never seen before in their life. And that is, what would a legal marijuana market look like? I think if we could get more people to see what's going on in Colorado and have that be their imagination as to what medical marijuana is, we wouldn't see the decline in the polls that we have in Arkansas. We wouldn't see the backlash against like what we're seeing in Montana. I think generally people agree, as that marijuana majority site shows, that criminalizing marijuana makes no sense. People shouldn't get criminal jail time. We should allow them to have medical use. What they're afraid of is the unknown, and they're afraid of it becoming a Wild West scenario where anybody can grow pot anytime they want, anywhere they want, for any reason they want. That may be the freedom that we're all seeking, but when it comes time for passing laws, people are a bit timid, and they need to see a working system that they feel will protect public safety, that will protect them from traffic incidences and keep their kids from using marijuana. This 60 Minutes piece goes a long way to showing how responsible use can be dealt with. All right, so when we come back, we are going to get into our Roots Monday Daily Toker Tune and take a look at a different drug, not marijuana, but cocaine. Be right back.
Oh, have you ever met that funny reefer man? A reefer man. Have you ever met that funny reefer man, reefer man? If he said he swam to China, he would sell you South Carolina. Then you know you're talking to that reefer man.
Did you know that one out of seven Oregon adults will use marijuana this year? Did you know that only one out of 10 Oregon marijuana consumers are medical marijuana patients? That's over 500,000 Oregon adults participating in the marijuana market. And the state of Oregon sees not one dime of tax revenue or job growth from the uncounted millions spent on marijuana. Isn't it time we regulated the marijuana market, sell it in adults-only stores that check ID, and put the proceeds in the state general fund instead of some drug dealer's pocket? Vote yes on Measure 8.
And now, a message from former President George W. Bush to remind the American people of our responsibility in our nation's war on certain American citizens using non-pharmaceutical, non-alcoholic, tobacco-free drugs.
One major responsibility is to encourage people to use less drugs.
That's right, America, use less drugs. Put down the Prozac, the Vioxx, and the Levitra, and turn to the herb. Use less drugs. Our national policy is no longer just say no. It's now just slow down.
You get me too high. I overanalyze. If you've ever been too high, then you can sympathize. You get me too high. And I start to fly. I've said some silly thing, and that's the reason why.
Everyone knows music and marijuana go together, so let's wind up our 20 after break with the Russ Belleville Show's Daily Toker Tunes, the best in pod-safe 420 music from around the web. Today is Roots Monday, featuring the blues, country, folk, and jazz music that birthed the modern sounds we enjoy today. You can get downloads and more information about all our Daily Toker Tunes by visiting music.radicalrust.com. Now, sit back and enjoy your Daily Toker Tunes.
Every Roots Monday, we have a show on at 8 o'clock Pacific time that we call the New Viper Hour, and I've been building these shows with certain themes to them. Unfortunately, I won't be able to bring you a new episode tonight. I have a rehearsal with my own band tonight, so... Plus, there's the presidential debate that's on tonight, so I'll be wanting to watch that as well. So there'll be a replay of the Viper Hour that I put together from last Monday, and it was an interesting theme for last Monday. I decided to look up songs from the reefer jazz era that had to do with drugs other than marijuana. Now, I had known some songs like Harry the Hipster Gibson's Who Put the Benzedrine in Mrs. Murphy's Ovaltine, and of course Ella Fitzgerald sang Wacky Dust, a song about cocaine. And so after looking, I was able to find quite a few songs that had something to do with a drug other than marijuana. This song is one of them, from the interestingly named Dick Justice. Yes, Dick Justice is the name of this artist, a white artist who was known for playing and aping some of the blues of the Mississippi Delta, and later the Chicago blues era came from that. But of course, the early blues, the Mississippi Delta blues, Dick Justice recorded this song about cocaine called, interestingly enough, Cocaine. Hope you enjoy it.
Go on, gal, don't take me far no food. I ain't gonna quit your on with her too. Around your back door, honey, I'm gonna creep. Just as long as you bring me 2.5 weeks. I've got a girl, she works in the white folk yard. She brings me meal, I swear she brings me love. She brings me meal, honey, she brings me lard. She brings me everything, honey, that a girl can steal. Lord of Vaudeville Circus, right at King's Town. They got a dancer looking nice and brown. They didn't know it was against the law for the monkeys to stop at a 5 cent store. Well, just around the corner, just a minute too late. Another one standing at the big back gate. I'm simply wild about my good cocaine. I stood my corner, hey, hey. Here comes Sal with a note all told. Doctor said you couldn't smell no more. Lord, run, doctor, ring the bell. The women in the alley, I'm simply wild about my good cocaine. Furniture man came to my house once last Sunday morning. Asked me was my wife at home. Said she'd long been gone. Backed his wagon up to my door. Took everything I had. He carried it back to the furniture store. Honey, I did feel sad. What in the world has any man got now messing with the furniture man? Got no dough, stand for show. Certainly will back you back. Take everything from an earthly plate, from a skillet to a frying pan. If there ever was a devil boss without any harness, been a furniture man. I hear you, mama. Hey, hey. Here comes Sal with a note all told. Doctor said you couldn't smell no more. Lord, go, doctor, ring the bell. Women in alley. I'm simply wild about my good cocaine. A lot of babies in the cradle in New Orleans. The doctor kept a whip until the baby got mean. Doctor whip until the baby got so. Mama said you couldn't smell no more. Lord, go, doctor, ring the bell. The women in the alley. I'm simply wild about my good cocaine.
Funky roller rink.
Oh yeah.
What's happening, Groovy Cats? This is your funk master of ceremonies, Big Daddy. And I want you to join me every Thursday night at 11 Eastern, 8 Pacific, right here at the Funky Roller Rink.
Oh yeah.
Your home of soul, funk, and disco, baby.
Funky-licious.
It's always a party at the Funky Roller Rink.
Cannabinoids and health.
Cannabinoids.
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 Why am I having trouble saying that?
Cannabinoids.
Jeez.
Cannabinoids.
What a gift. Flame on, flame on if you can. You're looking for the dope weed. Fire it up. Flame on, flame on if you can. You're looking for the dope weed. Pony boy's a man. Flame on, flame on if you can. You're looking for the dope weed. Flame on, flame on. Hit the light up. If you burn bugs. You want answers?
I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore.
You want answers?
You have offended my family.
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
And you have offended the Shaolin Temple.
You can't handle the truth.
Surely you can't be serious.
I am serious, and don't call me Shirley.
Radical rant.
Welcome back, everybody, and we'll have Michael Kravitz on the line shortly, I hope, but until then, we're going to go right on ahead with the Radical Rant scheduled for today, and then this one, You know, it's bad enough the prohibitionists got to come up with their reefer madness, but now they're starting to plagiarize each other here in the state of Oregon in their fight to scare people against Measure 80. I mean, I know it leads to some very unpleasant behaviors from the people who do not smoke it, and this is another one of them. And besides blatantly lying about the whole meth girl billboard thing, now they're just plagiarizing. In fact, Jennifer Alexander, the Portland Cannabis Examiner and the co-host of A Different View, which you can hear Tuesday nights at 8 o'clock Pacific here at RadicalRust.com. Jennifer Alexander notes that in the October 20th edition of the Herald and News from Klamath Falls, Oregon, there is an essay that's entitled "Marijuana Prohibition is Not a Burden on Society." And it purports to be written by the Board of Directors for Citizens for Safe Schools, which include Debbie Vaught, Jeanette Rutherford, Jeff Young, Christy Creed, Lucas Ritter, Paul Hillier, Tamara Naramore, Tony Swan, and Vicky Kaber. Yet, when you take a look at the Hermiston Herald from October 13th, they published the exact same essay, "The Case Against Marijuana Legislation," was its title, and it was written by John Schaefer of Athena, Oregon, who may be Sergeant John Schaefer of the Umatilla County Sheriff's Office and a member of the Athena City Council. Well, look, regardless of who wrote this thing, I'm going to expose it. Here's some of the reefer madness that the prohibitionists are copying from each other now, from John Schaefer, assuming he's the original author. As to why we should not legalize marijuana with Measure 80. Brain development continues until age 26, but marijuana interferes with normal growth and permanently alters the teenage brain. A decades-long study looking at teenage pot smokers who continued using into adulthood found that average IQ declined by 8 points between ages 13 and 38. Quitting did not reverse the process. Okay, well, that's a study, yeah, that I've looked up here, and it found, quote, "It didn't find the same IQ dip for people who became frequent users of pot after age 18. Nobody's trying to legalize teenage use of marijuana here. Measure 80 would set the legal age at 21. And Times Maya Salovitz already points out that this study only found this cognitive decline in about 5% of those teens. And Dr. Carl Hart noted that, quote, only 38 people in this study, about 8% of those who ever tried marijuana, used it heavily enough to get diagnosed with dependence, end quote. And that a small sample size like that doesn't lead itself to generalizations for large populations. But this all just begs the question, wouldn't this IQ drop be happening to teens who smoke pot now? About 3.2 million of the 17.1 million teenagers aged 14 to 17 smoked pot this year, and about 195,000 of them were toking more than 350 days a year, and yet IQ scores are steadily up in all the industrialized countries, most of which saw huge increases in marijuana smoking around 1960. So if you want to reduce the harm to teens, how about we try taking marijuana out of the hands of teens and criminals and put it into the adults-only stores that will check ID? And another consideration here would be, who made a law saying that we have to have the greatest IQ score possible? You know, when I was a kid, I was tested at 149 IQ. So if I had smoked pot then, would I now be at 141 IQ? And why should anybody care? I mean, I ask because it seems we have no problem in this society with the clearly deleterious effects of alcohol abuse that that has on the brain and cognition, including one study I read where a CEO's IQ dropped from 160 to 127. Given that far more teenagers are regular users of alcohol than cannabis, I wonder why these drug warriors never call for a repeal of the 21st Amendment. Look. Nobody's encouraging teenagers to smoke pot, but having a permanent record as a druggie is going to harm their future far more than a 5% chance of at most an 8-point drop in IQ. Back to their reefer madness. A peer-reviewed study published last year in the British Medical Journal showed that marijuana use increased the risk for psychosis in young adults aged 14 to 24. This is one of those chicken and the egg studies where they're trying to figure out, do people that experience psychotic symptoms seek cannabis to self-medicate, or does cannabis itself cause psychosis? Now, this study tends to support the hypothesis that continued heavy use of marijuana leads to greater chance of psychoses in those who begin use in adolescence. If so, yet another reason to put marijuana in adults-only stores and check IDs. However, this study took a look at the rates of schizophrenia and psychosis. I found another one that took a look at the rates of schizophrenia and psychosis from 1881 to 1999 in England. Pretty big span there, right? 1881 to 1999 in England, and found, quote, "There was no evidence of change in the incidence of psychotic disorder over time," end quote. Which is pretty remarkable when you think about the increase in marijuana use from the 1960s forward. Think about it. If heavy marijuana use really led to increase in psychoses, wouldn't we have a big problem with psychotic baby boomers? And let's not forget that the use of alcohol causes psychoses in many people, and for some leads to alcohol-induced dementia. Yet still, nobody's calling for a repeal of the 21st Amendment. Why do we pretend we're locking up the adult pot smoker to prevent some teenager from going psycho when we tolerate the adult alcoholic who's a psycho drunk? Let me go back to the reefer madness here. Adolescent pot smokers become addicted at twice the adult rate. And research shows that teenagers who smoke marijuana regularly do worse in school, drop out at much higher rates, and have less satisfying careers as adults. With local dropout rates approaching 40%, we cannot afford to see them go any higher. Look, many teenagers who smoke marijuana are doing so to cope with bad situations in their lives that can equally affect their grades. Then, when they're caught with marijuana, they're kicked out of all their extracurricular activities and they're suspended from school, and they sometimes get a juvenile record, all of which leads to higher dropout rates. And when they become adults, they're drug tested for the more satisfying careers. Once again, if pot is so bad for teenagers, why do we let them make a living dealing it? Have you ever met a teenage tequila dealer? No, because he can't compete with the legal adults-only store. No parent wants this for their children, but since 2008, the number of teens who smoke pot regularly, at least 20 times per month, has increased by 80%. The marijuana lobby's campaign to convince us that pot is harmless is mostly to blame. Well, there's no data to support that assertion. Nobody in this marijuana lobby wants to convince you that pot is harmless. We do want you to consider the facts and the relative harms of marijuana and ask yourself whether locking up adults is a reasonable way to deal with the limited harms of marijuana. Since 2008, the number of teens who smoke cigarettes regularly has dropped dramatically, to the point where more teens smoke pot than tobacco. Yet nicotine is incredibly addictive. More than a third of all kids who ever try smoking a cigarette become regular daily smokers before leaving high school. Yet how did we manage to get a 50% decline in the number of smokers since 1965 without locking up adult smokers? No parent wants their kids smoking cigarettes, drinking beers, or toking joints. But even as we've allowed adults to keep smoking and drinking, we've seen teen use of tobacco and alcohol continue to drop year after year. And those are far more addictive substances than cannabis and far more widely available than cannabis. We succeeded with alcohol and tobacco by setting age limits, educating adults on responsible use, educating kids on actual harms, moving the market to adults-only access, checking kids for ID, empowering cops to catch abusers, and eliminating advertising aimed at children. Now, their reefer madness continues. Behind the wheel, marijuana poses the same problems as alcohol. Researchers at the University of Auckland compared average drivers to people killed or hospitalized by car accidents and found that regular marijuana users were 9.5 times as likely to be in a serious or fatal car wreck. In comparison, someone who's legally drunk, blood alcohol of 0.08, is 11 times as likely to be in any type of crash. The rates are similar. Well, marijuana and driving doesn't even begin to compare to the dangers of alcohol and driving. Nobody approves of being impaired by marijuana when driving. But the risk of all drug-positive drivers, all drugs, not just cannabis, all drug-positive drivers compared to drug-free drivers is similar to drivers with a blood alcohol concentration of 0.05, a risk we deem tolerable on our roads. A drug-impaired driver, statistically speaking, and this is all drugs combined, a drug-impaired driver is as much a traffic risk compared to a sober driver as a 60-year-old driver is compared to a 35-year-old driver. But nobody's calling for taking all the 60-year-old drivers off the road. Unlike alcohol, which gives its users liquid courage that leads to their reckless behavior, marijuana users' perceptions may change, but their judgment and their personality do not. The drunk is going to tell you he's just fine to drive. The stoner's going to chill out until he's fine to drive. The drunk will drive even more aggressively in relation to his impairment. The stoner will recognize his impairment and adjust by slowing down and driving more carefully. Again, that's not to defend stone driving. That's to reflect on what's already happening now. People smoke pot now, and some of them drive. Yet we have the safest highways in the history of highway safety statistics. Continuing on that front from the prohibitionists, they say, according to Alan Kranzer, retired research analyst for the National Highway Transportation Safety Administration, if marijuana use becomes more prevalent, as it would with legalization, it could overtake alcohol as the deadliest drug on the road. The marijuana lobby's claim that pot is safer than alcohol and never killed anyone is just plain wrong. Marijuana is safer than alcohol by every objective measure. Period. For marijuana to overtake alcohol, there would have to be 7.4 times more monthly marijuana users than there are today. Over half of Americans use alcohol monthly. That's 51% of Americans use alcohol monthly. Only 7% of adults use marijuana monthly. So there is no possible way it's going to overtake unless we have 7 times more marijuana smokers when we legalize, and I don't see that happening. They continue. The claim that thousands of people are behind bars for simple possession is also untrue. The Justice Department researched this claim and found that almost everyone in federal prison for marijuana possession had prior offenses, pleaded down from a more serious charge, or was in possession of very large amounts. The median was 115 pounds. They're not there just for smoking a joint. Look, we're talking about passing a state law, not a federal law. So what difference do federal prison statistics make? 99% of all marijuana arrests are made at the state level. And even in Oregon, where smoking a joint can get you a ticket, a fine, and a 6-month loss of driver's license, there are 199 arrests per month on marijuana possession charges. And keep in mind that our decriminalization of marijuana only extends to 1 ounce, or 28 grams. If you're caught with 29 grams, that's a felony charge. And there are 199 arrests for those felonies every single month. Each one requires fingerprinting and booking with a mugshot that goes online for a felony drug arrest, and that's searchable in Google forever. That felony equates to job losses, scholarship losses, security clearance losses, even child custody losses. In fact, a friend of mine with a drug felony for growing a marijuana plant can't even be the coach for his son's peewee soccer team. Prohibitionists always try to minimize the effects of prohibition by pointing out how few people are in prison for marijuana possession. But every case of marijuana possession involves someone committing felonies in the process. Merely picking up your decriminalized half ounce from a dealer is a felony. A group of tokers going in on an ounce by splitting the costs 4 ways, they're committing felony conspiracy. and anything involving a plant is a felony. Continuing the reefer madness. The tax story is equally misleading. Taxes on alcohol come nowhere near paying for what it costs society. These include criminal justice and health care costs, and the most expensive of all, lost work productivity and absenteeism. Marijuana would be the same, a net drain on society. Yes, this is what I call the Sabbat conjecture. Any marijuana taxes would be too little to pay for the increased cost to society, because alcohol costs to society more than the taxes it brings in. The Sabbat conjecture conveniently admits two salient points. Number one, alcohol is both toxic and addictive and used by far more Americans than marijuana. And number two, marijuana is already being used by Americans and we're reaping zero in tax revenue and spending $13 billion to prohibit it. So if marijuana use stayed steady, we'd have the same cost for marijuana as we do now, and we'd bring in some taxes, and we'd save a lot of that $13 billion in law enforcement. If marijuana use went up, we'd have even more tax revenue, and the cost from just the increase in marijuana use would have to be more than $13 billion for this equation to make any sense. But a recent Canadian study showed that a pot smoker costs society 1/8 that of an alcohol drinker, and 1/40 that of a tobacco smoker. It worked out to about $20 per pot smoker per year in costs. Do you really think we can't raise $20 a year in taxes from pot smokers who are accustomed to spending $150 to $600 an ounce for weed? And please, spare me the worry about the lost productivity and absenteeism when most companies allow their nicotine addicts many extended breaks per day to go outside and get their fix. And every company I know of still manages to get by on Hangover Monday. Some companies even allow their employees to consume alcohol on their lunch hour. Finally, winding up their reefer madness here, they say, legalizing marijuana would benefit people who sell the stuff and those who only care about getting high. Legalizing marijuana sends the wrong message to our children and puts them in harm's way. For the rest of us, keeping pot illegal is the better option. Marijuana prohibition is not a burden on society. It's a benefit. Well, actually, legalizing marijuana would harm the people currently selling the stuff who are making bank on prohibition profit. Legalizing marijuana would change our message to the kids from just say no, which just doesn't work, to marijuana is for adults, which seems to work better with alcohol and tobacco. The burden marijuana prohibition places on society is real in the lives that are torn apart by criminalizing peaceful people who are productive and breaking up their families. Until it touches you directly when your child or your friend or your family member is arrested, then you usually can't see it because it's the status quo. But we're going to change that by passing marijuana legalization, passing Measure 80, passing Amendment 64, passing I-502, and finally taking this fight to the federal government and saying, enough, stop criminalizing peaceful people. I'm Radical Russ. That's the Radical Rant for today. Be right back after this.
We'll be right back after these messages from our 420 friendly sponsors. Support these advertisers because their ad money goes straight to the Russ Belville Show. You're tuned into the Russ Belville Show, the voice of the marijuana nation. NARML stands for Responsible Adult Cannabis Use. If cannabis use is causing problems in your life, consider taking a break or seeking medical assistance. Consider ceasing cannabis use if you have a family history of mental illness. Don't drive or operate heavy machinery while impaired by cannabis use. Cannabis use is not without risks, even though the risks may be far less than those posed by legal drugs.
Hey, this is Willie Nelson for NARML. And if you're one of the 26 million Americans who smoked marijuana last year, you need to get involved in the drive to legalize marijuana. We need your help to stop the senseless arrests of more than 800,000 Americans each year on marijuana charges. Together, we can end marijuana prohibition and stop the arrests of marijuana smokers. To learn what you can do to help, contact Normal at NORNL.org or call toll-free 888-67-NORMAL.
Yeah, it's Young Khalifa, Mr. Look the Fuck Up.
Oh, man, is that the Reaper Man?
That's the Reaper Man.
I believe he's losing his mind.
I think he's lost his mind.
This is a Russ Belville Show news alert. Whatever you do, don't smoke pot. You don't want to turn out to be a loser like Olympian Michael Phelps, actor Jack Nicholson, singer Miley Cyrus, rocket scientist Dr. Carl Sagan, pop star Rihanna, actress Cameron Diaz, country legend Willie Nelson, President Barack Obama, Cy Young pitcher Tim Lincecum.
Oh, have you ever met that funny Reaper Man? Have you ever met that funny Reaper Man? If he says he swam to China and he sells you South Carolina, then you know you're talking to that Reaper Man.
And over 100 million other Americans.
Have you ever met funny Reaper Man? If he says he walks the ocean anytime he takes a notion, then you know you're talking to the Reaper Man.
I have to say that there was one question that was voted on that ranked fairly high, and that was whether legalizing marijuana would improve the economy and job creation. I don't know what this says about the online audience, but the answer is no. I don't think that is a good strategy to grow our economy. So.
Nearly 1 million lives wrecked by a marijuana arrest every year, Mr. President. Politely tell President Obama what you think about legalization by calling the White House at 202-456-1111. Activism begins with ACT. The Russ Belville Show features the stories of hardworking grassroots activists working for an end to prohibition in today's activist agenda.
All right, welcome back, everybody. We don't have Michael Kravitz, unfortunately, unable to join us today, so I'm going to turn over to the 60 Minutes piece that was just recently broadcast on the Rocky Mountain High.
They come in all sizes and shapes. There is the health food store motif in 70s-style head shops. There are storefronts pitching low-cost weed and boutiques offering gourmet ganja. No stems and seeds here, just walnut-sized buds freshly harvested from the cultivation room out back.
When patients arrive, this is where they'll have to show their patient registry card and their driver's license to gain access to the actual marijuana center itself.
You could smell it.
This is all private enterprise, licensed, regulated, and taxed by the state. It was enshrined in the Colorado Constitution after voters approved an amendment allowing the sale of marijuana to people who can demonstrate that they may benefit from its avowed medicinal properties. Matt Cook, a former narcotics officer, wrote the law and served as the state's first director of enforcement.
If you'll note, video security cameras in the system.
And the reason for that?
There is. We created a very transparent regulatory scheme and wanted to ensure that what they said they were doing, they were actually doing. 170 plants.
No state has gone to the lengths to manage medical marijuana that Colorado has. Every licensed dispensary must grow at least 70% of its own product indoors so harvesting and sales can be closely monitored. This crop is worth about $250,000.
We track everything from seed to sale. and they have to account for 100% of it. We've got a gentleman here that has a live, if you will, software program that does all of the tracking for this commodity.
Each plant has a barcode and is registered to a specific patient. Most dispensaries will cultivate a couple of dozen different strains, some of them proprietary, like ales at a microbrewery, engineered to have particular characteristics, as our bud tender, Carrie, explained.
This is called Jack Frost, but it's a AAA, alert, awake, and aware. If you needed to medicate in the AM before going to work, no one would ever be able to detect that you took any medicine, just as you would any other medicines that you take. So no physical lethargy is my point.
We should point out that those properties are anecdotal and not based on studies by either the FDA or the DEA, a subject we will get to shortly. There is also no correlation between the more popular brand names and the ailments they alleviate. Dopium is a medication available at Denver Relief, owned by Ian Seed. It's gotten high marks from critics. Yes, there are medical marijuana critics in Colorado, even competitions.
You won the Colorado Medical Marijuana Harvest Cup?
We did.
A couple of years ago?
Yeah, in 2009. And our biodiesel won 5 out of the 6 categories in first place, so we won the overall award. It was a sweeping victory, if you will.
And biodiesel?
That's
the name of it?
Yes, it is.
And does it sound like medicine?
There's a lot of strains out there that don't sound like medicine because this didn't used to be legal, and those strain names have not changed. You know, strains back in the 70s, you know, there was Afghani, and we still have AK-47 that came from the Hindu Kush region of Afghanistan originally.
But it's not all brand loyalty and nostalgia. There are lots of new things on the dispensary shelf, especially for non-smokers. They're called edibles, the marriage of botanical science and the culinary arts. Marijuana-infused cookies, candy, chocolate truffles, even olive oil. And for patients watching their waistline, there are marijuana pills that come in different strengths, just like Tylenol and Advil.
You simply take it with a glass of water, and it puts you where you need to be.
The people who have invested money in all of this are known locally as ganjapreneurs. Colorado has had a history of gold rushes and silver rushes, and some people have dubbed this the green rush, not just for the color of medical marijuana, but for the money that might eventually be made here if you're among the first to stake a claim. Christy Kelly was doing marketing in Washington when she decided to invest in a medical marijuana dispensary.
There's not a lot of opportunities in any one lifetime where you can be a part of something from such an early stage. And so ultimately my partners begged me to come out, and my husband and I packed up our bags and shut down our life in D.C. and moved out here.
The company's evolution has been fairly dynamic.
Trip Kieber is CEO of Dixie Elixirs, the leading manufacturer of cannabis-laced edibles. It supplies most of the state's 537 dispensaries from this factory, which he calls state-of-the-art for the industry, which means small scale.
So here we have Lexi, who is one of our production specialists. She's preparing our medicated chocolate rolls, which are certainly one of our most popular edibles products.
It smells really good. It looks good.
Dixie Elixir product line includes ice creams and medicated beverages that come in 10 different flavors.
We have a 75 milligram, 12 ounce sparkling red currant. Would be the equivalent of 4 or 5 doses of medicine for a patient.
What would happen to me if I drank one of these?
You would have a very long but mellow afternoon.
Kieber and his partners have poured $1 million into this business and have also pioneered edible products in capsules they say contain all the medicinal benefits of marijuana, but without the high.
What's your business plan?
So our plan, and I'm having...
Long-term and short-term.
Sure. The long-term plan for this business, for Dixie Elixirs and Edibles, as I've never been really shy to share, is ultimately to sell it. I truly believe that whether it's big alcohol, big tobacco, or big pharma, a company like one of those is going to look very, very closely at medical cannabis. It's about a $2 billion market in 2012, growing to just under $9 billion in 2016. So you're seeing hockey stick growth, and I think that companies like Dixie are well-positioned.
Oh, yeah, folks. You can catch the rest of that 60 Minutes broadcast at CBS.com. And I'm telling you, we are winning, folks. We are winning the battle when your grandma and grandpa are tuning into 60 Minutes and seeing well-run medical cannabis grows, seed-to-sale coverage, professional packaging, professional kitchens. That's what's going to win for us. For Brian the Red and Cannabis Carry, I'm Radical Russ. Thanks for joining us. Stay tuned for Hour 2. And until next time, take care of each other, tokers.
This is the Russ Belville Show. The Russ Belville Show is blogging and podcasting daily at RadicalRuss.com. You take a seat, you plant it, you grow it, you giant, you roll it, you smoke it. You take a seat, you plant it.